God, I'm not doing anything heavy tonight. I just want to really do an introduction to the next series, the Covenant series that I feel God wants us to cover. And for some of us who have been here many years, it's a repeat, but it's some 20 plus years since we did the subject of the Covenant Heart. And it's following the thoughts of David Huskins. And it was such a blessing to us when we did it. We studied these covenants of God over the past few months, from the Garden of Eden to the New Covenant. And there's one outstanding truth that has come through in all the covenants, and that's God's absolute commitment to mankind. He will never break that covenant. No matter how much we fall down or fail, God is covenanted and he will never break his covenant. He stands firm. And I just wanted to introduce you to some aspects of the covenant heart which are important. Today's generation, there's little or no concept of what a covenant is, let alone the power of such a covenant. But if you reflect back into some of the teachings that we've done over the past few months, and we think about the Tower of Babel, that was a people who were totally of one mind, one spirit, and they had set themselves a task, and together, by being unanimous, they built a tower, or commenced building a tower that they wanted to reach to the heavens. And God looked down and he said, we need to go and confuse their languages, because if we don't, there are such one mind and one heart that nothing will be impossible to them. So we can see the power of covenants, the power of being in unity with God and knowing who we are. There are two dimensions to covenant. The first one is our personal relationship with God. And most evangelical Christians have an understanding of this. However, many attend church out of a sense of duty, or to get a boost, a feel-good factor to their emotions. But very few recognise the immense power of covenant. And I thank God for revealing all this to us, and to know that we have an anchor that keeps our souls steadfast and sure while the billows roll. And I tell you, there's nothing so sure as the billows will roll. And so we need an anchor in all of life's situations to come through those in victory. Not only is the first aspect is our personal relationship with God, but the one that is very, very little understanding of in church relationships is our relationship with one another. It not only goes this way, but it goes this way. And I think some of us think, well, I'll do it. Yeah, I can commit to God, because he's perfect and he won't let me down and he never fails and he's always love. Yeah, that's it. A lot easier. Sometimes it's difficult to see him in situations, but God, is this really all about your love for me? And help, why am I going through this trial? But everything is for our good. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So don't argue with him. Just go with the flow and trust him all the way. And he is most trustworthy. But we don't, our relationships with one another are sometimes very, very fickle, aren't they? Human relationships are the most fickle of relationships, I find. And this is where the covenant comes in, because not only are we in covenant with God, we're in covenant with one another. And that means when your brother offends you, you can't walk off in a huff and say, I'm never going to speak to you again. God says, The covenant says, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. When we don't forgive, the only person we hurt is ourselves. We tie ourselves up, we put ourselves in prison, and then wonder why we're feeling like we are. Well, you know, wakey wakey church, we've got to be, whether we like it or not, we have to be in covenant with one another. And that can be a toughie. But then I always find that when I'm struggling with something, I go back to the thought, it's all by God's grace. Yes. Everything he's given me, I've not earned it or deserved it. It's by his grace. He has bestowed such love on me, such beautiful gifts and blessings. I'm a child of God. Yes. Amen. And I am loved with an everlasting love. And there's no measure to that love. And he wants us as the body of Christ, because we're connected. He's the head. We're the body. What applies to the head applies to the body. And we have to be a people of grace, of forgiveness, of love, of mercy. And that's what I think we need to cover. That's the most difficult part of it, dealing with one another. Today's society is very self-centred, and it runs on emotions. Don't know if you found that, but I found that so true. And it's easy to run on your emotions. Well, I don't feel. Well, that's not anything to go by. Your feelings will lead you astray. God said, it's nothing to do with it, your feelings. It's what does the word say? What does God say? Who is God and who am I in Christ? So, but this self-centeredness has invaded the church and has invaded that, so much so that Christians will join themselves to a church if they get the feel-good factor. Was the band good? Did it give me a nice feeling inside? You know, was it good? Were my emotions stirred? No, that's not at all what it's about. It's about, has God put me here? Did God lead me here? Did God say? And if God said, then you sit and you stand and you do what God has placed you to do in that body. Play your part. Get on with it. Suck it up. Go for it. God is going to do a mighty work in him. It may be there's a lot of character development having to go on in us before we can reach that place. But don't run away. Stay. 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 You know, Andrew calls these Christians who pop in and pop out plant pot Christians. They go where the environment's good, and it's all about what's good for them. But we prefer not to be called Christians. We prefer to be called disciples, because a disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Discipline. We didn't like that as a child, as children, did we? I didn't. I was quite a rebellious kid. I didn't like being disciplined. Once I got to 13, 14, it's like, ugh. But God dealt with that, as he always does. He knows how to deal with rebellious kids. He's a champion. Praise God. He never gives up on us, even when we give up on ourselves. Yes, we need to be disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. We need to be called out ones who seek God and God's plan for their lives. And you will never go wrong. You will always come out in victory. Another thing about relationships today, they are discarded for the smallest of excuses. Many people are what Paul describes in Romans 1 and verse 31 as people without understanding and covenant breakers. This passage gives us great insight into the present strategy of the enemy against the people of God. The enemy wants to keep us divided. He wants a divided body. If he can have a divided body, he can make terrific inroads into society and into the people at large. Well, God wants a people of unity. And for this reason, his disciples need to understand covenant, both vertical and horizontal. As I was saying earlier, about 20 years ago, we studied this book of David Huskins called The Power of a Covenant Heart. And I really felt God was saying, well, you've covered the covenant. Now it would be good to revisit the covenant heart and see how this applies to us personally in the body of Christ. In the introduction to his book, David Huskins describes his father, John Huskins, as his role model and his inspiration for this book. And I think, God, if there's one thing I can let me leave, is a role model for somebody to say, I saw the example, and that's the example I want to follow. A challenge to me, and I guess to many of us. But I just want to read what he said that blessed me so much. My father, John Huskins, was a man of little education, yet one who was so very wise. Notwithstanding his humble beginnings, he convinced my brother and me that wealth was not restricted to income and bank accounts. Rather, true wealth was about character and integrity. Amen. That's what God is wanting to establish in us all. Character and integrity. His word was sure, and it could be counted on in every situation. He married once, believing that the covenant of marriage should be once and forever. Daddy took covenant seriously. He never spoke evil of anyone. He would treat an enemy with the same respect with which he would treat a friend. Now that's a big one. He would treat an enemy with the same respect with which he would treat a friend. He was a man of honour. And I think, what a tribute to a man of God. That's just beautiful. And then if we look at scripture, Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Same thing is said in Romans 12 and verse 20, but there Paul adds, by doing it, by loving them and praying for them, you are heaping coals of fire on their head. You are bringing them to that place of repentance and of realizing there's something greater than just the fickleness that many people experience. And I was thinking about this, and there's a story in the Old Testament, isn't there, of Elisha. And when the Syrian army came against him, because he was telling tales about what was happening in the Syrian camp. He was telling the king of Israel what the enemy was going to do, and every time the enemy attacked, Israel was ready and waiting for them. And he got sick and tired of this. And he said, who's the snitch in the camp? Who's telling on me? And they said, it's not anybody in the Syrian camp. We don't have a traitor in this camp. Thanks, David. It's Elisha. He's the prophet of God. And God tells him, uh-oh, dear me. He decided to do something very silly. He decided to attack Elisha and take him captive. Well, that was a silly and a foolish thing to do, because he totally lost that one. And if you remember, God blinded the enemy and Elisha was able to lead them to the king. But the interesting thing is, the king said, thank you, Elisha, now we've got the enemy, now we can kill him. And Elisha said, you'll do no such thing. You didn't capture him and you're not going to kill him. He said, get a feast ready. We're going to feed him and we're going to give him something to drink, and then we're going to send them back to Syria. And there's an example. Love your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Bless your enemies. Love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you. How does he love me? He loves me unconditionally. I'm so glad he loves me unconditionally. I can always come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't ever, ever have to grovel. Sometimes I have to repent, but that's just over and done with as quick as it's repented of. As quick as we've spoken it out and asked for forgiveness, God's unconditional love and forgiveness is there immediately. No matter what we've done or how we feel has nothing to do with it. Sometimes we have a greater struggle forgiving ourselves than accepting God's forgiveness. But it's so, so unconditional. Grace, it's a process. It's a command to love one another. It's not optional. But the grace to do it sometimes is just a process. And word for today, I think yesterday or today, was all about the process of grace. And how that comes about. It's something that is not natural to us. But as we develop that and we develop our relationship with God and we realise how unconditionally he loves us, how can we be any other way to our brothers and sisters but unconditional and forgiving and loving and generous and kind? We must always think how much God has forgiven you. He who loves much is forgiven much. He's a lover of Jesus, and I thank God for that. Jesus Christ is the one in the middle of our relationship with God. He opened the door, he made the way, and he must also be in the middle of our relationships with one another. Keep him in the middle, and he will give you the grace to develop these strong relationships, these covenant relationships with our brothers and sisters. We see this modelled in the relationship of David and Jonathan. When they vowed, "The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever." The Lord is between those relationships. He's the glue that's holding them all together. As we stay in covenant, and you'll find that scripture in 1 Samuel 20. And verse 42. And that's the model of the study of the covenant heart. As we've just hinted previously, all covenant relationships will be tested. And the challenge to each of us is to keep our end of the covenant with God and with each other. We have to be committed. We will never walk away. God never walks away from me. Therefore, I can never walk away from anybody else. There's a reason for why that person's doing what they're doing. And this person needs to be loved and rooted and grounded in God's love. Because that it brings in all the fullness of God and all the blessings of God. And I want to help all of us come into that type of relationship with one another as well as with Christ. And he makes this statement, which I find very interesting, at the end of the introduction of the book. And he says, "The enemy's greatest fear is that the church will grow up and build unbreakable covenant relationships against which he has no power." I think that's beautiful. If you want to break the power of the enemy, get into covenant relationships. We are stronger. There's an advert on telly. We are stronger together. Amen. God wants a strong church. It's not about numbers. It's about strength and unity and bonding. And this is the solid foundation on which all disciples must be rooted and grounded, so as to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why I feel it is important, after going through all of those covenants and seeing so many different aspects of it and the different characters of the men and women who God cut covenant with. And through it all, we see God's unconditional, unmovable love, and that he truly believes in us and stands with us no matter what we feel or what's going on or what the challenge is, we can do it because we have God strengthening us to do it. And we need to know who we are and to stand in the grace and the power and the authority of God. And that's really all I want to say tonight. And we can push on with that as the weeks go on. Praise God. Amen.